In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading for the sermon today is our epistle reading, Philippians chapter 4, as it has been read. Please be seated. The day is getting closer. Children are becoming more and more excited as Christmas is soon to be here. Some parents teach their children to count by numbering the sleeps left before Christmas Day. Others, on the other hand, may dread that day. People without families anticipate another lonely Christmas. Fathers and mothers who are struggling financially are disappointed they cannot buy gifts for their children or for each other. Still others, because of a death in the family, are spending their first Christmas without their loved one. So, what's to be so excited about? Well, even in this season, when it's so easy to become distracted, disturbed, and depressed, our Heavenly Father gives us the reason to rejoice. Our Heavenly Father gives us the reason to rejoice. Whether we find ourselves in poverty or wealth, solid families or broken ones, for us as Christians, the reason for our rejoicing is not to be found in our circumstances. Rather, it is to be found in the gracious heart of God. Our rejoicing is to be found in the gracious heart of God. He sent His Son to live, suffer, and die for us, so that we might be reconciled to God. Our Heavenly Father gives us the reason to rejoice. So many people think they need to find their own reason to rejoice. And many people have bought into a lie that joy can be found in the things of this world. Adam and Eve bought the lie that they would find true joy apart from God, that God somehow was holding out on them. We too are often deceived into believing that created things hold more promise than the Creator Himself. Sadly, too many see this season just as an opportunity to have their personal wants and desires met. People often look for happiness in the things of this world. Many focus only on the things that they could have or that they could be. Even those who have it all, wealth, fame, and fortune, ultimately do not rejoice in their lot. In the United States, there are somewhere around 1,400,000 households with assets of more than $10 million. 1,400,000 households in the United States have assets of more than $10 million. Yet, even with all of their incredible net worth, their planes, cars, and mega homes, many find that the money they spend, the greater their dissatisfaction. The spending becomes a mad attempt to cover up boredom and depression. And I found out that there is even a term for this condition: wealth fatigue syndrome. Wealth fatigue syndrome. But such things people live and hope for do not deliver. King Solomon called it vanity, and I strive after the wind. Jesus put things into eternal perspective in Matthew chapter 16. For what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? There are other people who are looking for the very same reason to rejoice, but believe a life of joy is not possible for them because of their poverty or circumstances. This belief is just as wrong as the one before, because he also believes the basis for happiness is life, wealth, identity, something different from what God promises. The result is often to blame God and be angry at Him. And this gets in the way of seeing how much He wants to fill us with real joy. In the end, it is our sinful nature that causes unhappiness, sadness, sorrow, and desperation. Our sinful nature separates us from God, the true joy giver. It always leads to death, both temporal and spiritual. Our reading from Philippians chapter 4 points us beyond the temporary things of this life. St. Paul, even in the most difficult circumstances, exhorts us to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Our reason for rejoicing is found in the Lord. In the Lord. We have joy because Jesus conquers sin and death for us. All that robs us of hope and joy has been defeated at the cross through the suffering and death of Christ on our behalf. Since the sin that separates us from God has been removed by Jesus' cross, we are now back together with Him. We are in the Lord. Therefore, He calls us His children, no matter what our condition or station in life. His relationship with us is based on grace. That gives us a new sense of purpose in life, a reason to serve with joy. We rejoice to know our Father smiles on our service. We as children of God are sustained in this joyful purpose by the constant declaration that our sins are forgiven. All our sins are forgiven. We have joy in the promise of Christ's abiding presence. As verse 5 says, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Christians do not need to be anxious about life because the Lord, who is at hand, cares deeply for us. He invites us to commit all our cares and all our concerns to Him. And we can be so confident of His care for us that even as we offer our prayers, we can already add thanksgiving. We all learn to say please and thank you very early as children. And we try to do that to all our children. And always together, please and thank you come, you know, they came as a set. Of course, we learned that you didn't actually say them together. You asked please, and you answer, thank you, after your request had been granted. That's a little different from the way St. Paul teaches please and thank you. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your hearts be made known to God. Did you notice the difference? Paul says, when you ask God for things, when you bring prayer and supplication, and of course, with a please, you can immediately say thank you. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You don't have to wait for God's answer. Why not? Because God's answer is always sure. Whether it is yes, no, or later, God always already has the answer that is best for us. This is how God's people can and have always been able to rejoice during Advent. Even as his Old Testament believers waited for the arrival of the Messiah, his coming was sure. Even as we wait for God to fulfill all the promises he has made to us in Christ Jesus and for his return, they are certain already. Therefore, we also rejoice that Jesus promises to come again. He is also at hand in his second coming. Although we don't know when, we do know it will happen. He came into our world first in humility as a baby. That purified us so that we will rejoice, not tremble, when he comes again in glory. In the meantime, the peace of God, which is far beyond all understanding and guards in our hearts and minds, is given to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a peace that is based on the fact that God has reconciled us to himself through his Son Jesus. It is a peace that endures. And this peace guards and sustains us in our reason for rejoicing. No matter what circumstance or season we find ourselves in, God gives us a reason to rejoice. He is ever at hand to forgive, sustain, and support us. With the assurance of his love and presence in Christ Jesus, we can place all that we are and all that we have in his hands for time and for eternity. And of course, rejoice in his grace and mercy toward us. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.